All right, Alexander, we have news that Ghislaine Maxwell is now going to be transferred, or she by now she has been transferred, as we're doing this video, to New York's Metropolitan Detention Center. And this is, from what I understand, reading about the detention center via Bloomberg and The Intercept. It's a pretty rundown place. There's also a lot of CV cases there, which is interesting because there's also a lot of speculation that Ghislaine is going to end up with CV and may face some sort of untimely death via CV. That's some of the suggestions as to what might happen to her. Speculation, of course, but according to The Intercept, there is a lot of CV there. Both Bloomberg and The Intercept say the MDC, the Metropolitan Detention Center, is really run down. And along with the news that she has been transferred to the MDC, which is by the way, was not where Epstein was. This is a different facility in New York. We also have breaking news, or breaking expose, from a friend that the Daily Mail happened to interview, a former friend, I must add. We don't have a name of this former
No.
friend. At least I haven't been able to dig one up,
No.
which says that Ghislaine Maxwell, and I quote, "She has copies of everything Epstein had." And I also quote, "She has a secret stash of the pedophile's sex tapes that could implicate the world's most powerful, and will try to use them to save herself." Alexander, your initial comments on what I have just said, and as we go through the video, I'll read some more from this Daily Mail article, some more quotes from this former friend, and what she or he says about Ghislaine Maxwell.
I think firstly to say that the fact that she's been transferred to a prison in New York is not in itself wrong or surprising, but after what happened to her co-conspirator or alleged co-conspirator, Jeffrey Epstein, we have to be very concerned because, of course, he was found dead in his prison cell and she's now been transferred to a facility in New York, which is described as run down, rife with illness, with the virus, the pandemic that we've all been hearing so much about. And it's almost as if somebody was going out of their way to put her in an unsafe place. And I have to say that does concern me because she is a pivotal witness. Now, I we're going to come to the point about, well, we can come in a moment to the point about the tapes and the photos and all of this. But tapes, photos, recordings, all of that is very useful as evidence in corroboration. But in order to make a case stick, you need a witness. You need someone like Ghislaine, who is familiar with everything that happened, to come along to the wit to into the witness box and say, on oath, I saw so and so doing XYZ with this 15-year-old girl. I mean, that's the linchpin to any kind of case. Then you can bring in all the other evidence, the tapes, the recordings, the photos, all of those things, and they are corroborative. But by themselves, they lose weight as evidence very, very considerably indeed, to the point where I personally doubt that a case could be built upon them. So it is imperative that she be kept alive, imperative that she be kept well, and it is very concerning that she's been placed in a detention center where it's less likely that she will be able to stay alive and remain well. So, I mean, that's what I have to say about this. I mean, that if she's been sent to New York, which is the focus of the crime scene, that's entirely understandable. But that she's been placed in this rundown and cracked up facility, that is worrying. That is extremely worrying, and I hope that proper precautions are taken to keep her alive and well. But obviously, one has to be concerned that perhaps not.
Yeah, that's absolutely. After what happened to Epstein, I think that's what's on
Everybody's
everyone's thoughts. And wouldn't it be convenient if she happened to succumb to something like CV?
Well, very convenient to all sorts of people with power. So you need to keep her in a position where she is not exposed to risk and, risk of any kind. And this place doesn't seem to be that kind of a place. So I'm concerned about this news. I think this is a bad sign, actually.
Yeah, I'm concerned about it too because it plays upon perhaps the two most explosive stories that we've had in the last year, which is CV and Epstein, and it combines both of them, which really worries me because I know the people that like to jerk us around, they like to pull stuff like this.
Well,
You
indeed.
know what I mean? The media, the elites, the globalists, they like to pull charades like this one, saying that Ghislaine got CV and now she
Well,
has it.
indeed.
Anyway.
Well, indeed. And I mean, putting her in the way of that, suddenly she becomes ill. Suddenly, that illness takes a serious turn, and lo and behold, she's gone. I mean, it looks very bad, and it will undermine, if it happens, it will further undermine confidence in the legal system, and it will, demonstrate to many people in the United States that the United States is incapable of prosecuting crimes of this seriousness and magnitude against powerful people seriously. So I desperately hope it doesn't happen. I'm worried. This is not a good sign.
I always wonder why did Epstein and Maxwell, why do they put them in these facilities? Why don't they put them somewhere where they're completely isolated, completely secure? I don't know. They must have facilities for such high profile
I'm sure they
prisoners. I
do.
mean,
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do. And I mean, I come back to what I said at the time when Epstein, died or committed suicide, whatever it is. I mean, you would have expected that Epstein, of all people, would be monitored and looked after and watched carefully, especially given the circumstances of the case. And yet that didn't happen. And now we find that Maxwell has been sent to a prison, a facility that's even more run down than the one that Epstein was in. So, I mean, it's very disturbing. And yes, of course, the United States. I mean, to say that the United States doesn't have places which are fully secure and where people can be kept protected and in reasonable state of material security and safety, that one isn't going to be worried about them. Of course, it has those places. So why put her in a place like this, which appears to go out of its way to put her in danger? I mean, it's worrying. It's very concerning. It's a very concerning aspect of this.
All right, let's get to the Daily Mail article. Let me read you some quotes. Let me read you some quotes so I can give you some more context. I'm just gonna go straight into the article, Alexander, and you can comment. So from the Daily Mail, it says when officials raided Epstein's Manhattan townhouse after his arrest last July, they found thousands of graphic photos that included images of underage girls and a safe filled with compact discs labeled nude girls, according to authorities. Maxwell's former friend explained, Ghislaine has always been as cunning as they come. She wasn't going to be with Epstein all those years and not have some insurance. The secret stash of sex tapes, I believe Ghislaine has squirreled away, could end up being her get out of jail card if the authorities are willing to trade. She has copies of everything Epstein had. They could implicate some twisted movers and shakers. They added, if Ghislaine goes down, she is going to take the whole damn lot of them with her. Let me get you another quote. The former friend continued, not only did Epstein like to capture himself with underage girls on camera, he wanted to make sure he had something to hold over the rich and powerful men who took advantage of his sick largesse. I'll bet anything that once it comes out that Ghislaine has those tapes, these men will be quaking in their Italian leather boots. Ghislaine made sure that she socked away thumb drives of it all. Thumb drives. She knows where all the bodies are buried, and she'll use whatever she had to save her own. A asterisk asterisk. End quote, Alexander.
Well, first of all, I think it is highly likely, to put it mildly, that all this is true. And I think the point to make to say about this is this. Firstly, the Daily Mail is a mainstream newspaper in Britain. It's got good sources of information. It undoubtedly has good sources about Maxwell. And the kind of people it's talking to, I'm sure, exist. And I'm sure that the Daily Mail is reporting them accurately. Moreover, I can't help but think that these comments that we are hearing, which are being reproduced in the Daily Mail, which look like threats from Maxwell to, as the Daily Mail says, bring everybody down, that they actually originate with Maxwell herself. And go back to some of the videos we've done recently. And I made the point over the course of those videos that the fact that Maxwell was able for months to hide in plain sight, to stay in New England, to move from property to property there before she finally settled down in a property in New Hampshire, which she bought, for cash with her own money. But was able, as I said, to hide in plain sight, even despite the fact that the US authorities, or at least some of the US authorities, were aware of her whereabouts. That strongly implies that people were protecting her. And why were they protecting her? Arguably, it is because she has leverage over them. How does she have leverage over them? She has leverage over them because she's got tapes and thumb drives and all the things that the person who spoke to the Daily Mail called insurance. So it is consistent. This story is consistent with what we have seen happening with Maxwell over the last couple of months. On top of everything else, I think that it is also, again, highly likely that she has these tapes, precisely because obviously she would have needed these tapes to protect herself, not just from the US authorities, but from some of these people. She would have presumably said to them, look, I've all this information. Anything happens to me, these tapes will be published and you will be in trouble. So all of this makes sense. It's consistent with what we know about Epstein's operations, and it's consistent with what we've seen of Ghislaine Maxwell's operations. Now, that begs lots of questions because, of course, if there is this vast treasure trove of material, it looks as if she knows where it is. It looks also from this comment that the authorities don't yet know where it is, or at least they may have suspicions, but they don't yet have it in their possession. So already we see the Daily Mail talking about a trade-off. Maxwell gets a radically reduced sentence. The Justice Department gets all this material. The Justice Department has Maxwell as a witness. And it goes after all these various important people. And that is, I would have thought, the logical course for the Justice Department to take. To be very clear, Maxwell is a person right at the center of this ring, but she is only a medium-sized fish. The really big fish are still out there.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to understand here is who are they going after? Are they looking to put Maxwell away for the crimes that she did? Or are they looking, and are they then looking to go after these big fish, or are they looking to protect these big fish? Because whatever Epstein has in those tapes, according to what the Daily Mail has reported, and actually, according to what we know, going back to the Epstein investigation, they collected a lot of documentation, documents, photos, videos, etc. They mentioned it, and we never heard about that again. A year has gone by. We don't have any information as to what they collected. But whatever Epstein has, Maxwell has.
Yes.
I mean, I doubt she has anything new unless she took some stuff with a mobile phone or something, which, I mean, wouldn't surprise me. But still, it's not going to be anything different than what Epstein had with his sophisticated surveillance that he had all around his properties. So if they already have what Maxwell has, they already have these videos and this documentation, they already have exactly what Maxwell has, if not more, then what leverage does Maxwell really have? And if that's the case, that she's making a deal for these videos and this documentation, then the real people that they're looking to protect are the big fish. Like you said, Maxwell's a medium fish. They're looking to protect the big fishes, the Clintons, for example, the Gateses, for example. Of course, I'm just speculating. These people, because they have everything on video from Epstein's archives and what they collected from Epstein. So Maxwell has an exact copy of that. If I was you're an investigator, I'd say, okay, great. So what? Give us those tapes. We don't want them to leak because we don't want to implicate the Gateses and the Clintons and these people. But as far as getting to Maxwell and putting her away, you have everything.
Right. Two things to say. First of all, I'm not sure that she only has what Epstein has, and what the authorities have already found. I note the reference to thumb drives. That suggests to me that she obtained information surreptitiously. So she may have got information that Epstein destroyed. I mean, that is possible. And it's quite likely that Epstein destroyed quite a lot. But to answer your question, I need to go back to the first point I made in this video, which is that over and above in, you know, things, physical records like tapes, films, whatever, what you basically need is the witness to go into the witness box to corroborate what those documents say. Because documents themselves don't speak. They are evidence, but they are evidence of a certain kind. They are corroborative rather than affirmative evidence.
Videos?
So, videos too, absolutely. I mean, a video, you see, because bear in mind, what you see in a video can always be, you can always argue, you've got clever lawyers, and these people have the best lawyers in the world. You can always argue about what the contents of a video say. So what you ideally want is somebody who will say, this is what happened, and this is what the video shows. Then the jury sees the video and they say, well, look, that corroborates what the witness says, and it doesn't really corroborate what the defendant and his lawyers are saying. So that's why you really need a witness. And so she has that advantage, and she may have more information than Epstein did. We don't know, but it's possible. But coming back to your question about whom are they protecting, there are three possible futures to this. Future option one, possibility one, something happens to Maxwell. She becomes ill, she dies, she's, you know, whatever, she's unable to give evidence, at which point, frankly, this goes nowhere. All these big, powerful people, the big fish, are protected. Possibility two, no deal is done with Maxwell. The authorities go after her. She gets 35 years, but that's as far as the case goes. That would be a bad outcome. To be very clear, one bad person would have been punished. One bad person, I can't call her a scapegoat because she's clearly not a scapegoat, but one bad person is, if you like, sacrificed. Not such an important person, but the really big fish are left to go free. Possibility three, Maxwell is kept alive. A deal is done She doesn't get 35 years. She gets perhaps 10, but she goes into the witness box, names all sorts of people, and then you have a big clear out of all kinds of terrible people who've done terrible things. That is the optimal outcome. Which of those three will it be? We don't know yet. We really don't know. And I come back again to the point we made at the start of this program. The fact that she's been sent to a detention center where she looks unsafe is an ominous sign.
Yeah, the cynical side of me says it's not going to be option three. They're not going to let these powerful people go down. Let me just reference a story to you, just to give you an example, Alexander, and you could wrap up the video. We had a tweet from Ellen Pao. I don't know if that name sounds familiar to you. She was the
Absolutely.
ex, yeah, she was the ex-Reddit CEO. She went down in flames while she ran Reddit, but she was involved in 2012 with a lawsuit. Just to make a long story short, with Kleiner Perkins, which is perhaps the biggest venture capital company in the United States, if not the world, one of the
The
biggest.
world, it
Where
is the
she,
world,
yeah,
actually.
easily, yeah, it's a huge VC. Where she said that she was sexually assaulted by her boss or a junior partner there. We don't get, need to get into the details of the story. Kleiner Perkins was found innocent. Elaine Powell moved on. Anyway, she is a Silicon Valley insider. If there's ever a Silicon Valley insider, she's it. She's also now a very vocal advocate for sexual assault and women's rights in the workplace, especially in high-tech companies. She said in a tweet that she, and let me quote her tweet here. She was at the Kleiner holiday party in 2012, but I had no desire to meet her, much less have a photo taken with her. She's referring to Maxwell. She was at the Kleiner holiday party in 2011. I think I said 12, 2011, but I had no desire to meet her, much less have a photo taken with her. We knew about her supplying underage girls for sex. We knew. But I guess that was fine with the quote, cool people who managed the tightly controlled guest list. What does that tell you? She's a lawyer too, by the way. Powell is a lawyer as well, so I'm sure she chooses her words carefully. We knew.
We knew.
We knew. People knew. She said nothing. This was 2011. She said nothing. Silicon Valley insiders said nothing. They knew exactly who Epstein was.
Well, exactly. Well, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think lots of people knew exactly what was going on. I mean, everybody who went to these awful parties could have, and who spent any time there, should have very quickly got a sense of what was happening. But can I say something? What this person, Powell, has done is she's outed herself as a witness. I mean, this is a point which
And she's probably outed very powerful people in Silicon Valley because
correct.
who was at these parties and they all knew what he was doing, what Epstein was doing, and I'm sure they were benefiting from what Epstein was doing. Go on.
Who is we? Who exactly does she mean when she says we? We or you? Is it her friends at Silicon Valley? Is it all the top people there? We or you? I mean, I would have thought if I was, in charge of the of this investigation, I would be sending investigators right away to speak to this very interesting and useful witness who has come forward with this dramatic information in this way, because it seems to me that this is extremely important information. We or you, and the cool people. Who are these people? Who was involved? Who knew all of these things? And of course, the point is, she published this tweet. She almost immediately took it down, probably on legal advice, because of course, I mean, she has now outed herself as a witness. But it's done. It's been there. It's been seen, and I mean, it tells you a number of things. It tells you that at the very, very high level, the level, the inside a level in Silicon Valley that you're talking about, people, we knew what what Maxwell and presumably Epstein were all about. So, it's apparently common knowledge. So it's common knowledge with some elements of the US elite, the moneyed elite, the billionaire elite. And, we're talking about the CEO of one of the big tech companies. So, I mean, that kind of level of person knew what was going on. She says other people knew. It'd be very interesting to find out who those people were. But again, it shows that these crimes were being carried out in plain sight. And she says also that all kinds of cool people are implicated in them. So actually, I think this is a very, very interesting piece of information. Interesting that she jumped in on this and is now trying to jump out again. But as I said, she's a witness. She's an absolutely key and central and very useful witness. Not perhaps the lead witness in any kind of larger case, but certainly someone who has things to say.
Yeah, tightly controlled guest lists.
Tightly controlled, exactly. Tightly controlled by whom? And who was on those guest lists? I'm going to throw out a couple of names. I mean, I'm not suggesting anybody. I mean, leaders in the Democratic Party, presidential candidates, billionaires, media moguls, film people.
Absolutely.
I mean, who was on these lists? Tightly controlled by whom? Where were these parties happening?
Because we know that Silicon Valley's affiliation is with the Democrat Party.
Oh, well, exactly.
And we already
Exactly.
know that one person,
I know.
the founder of LinkedIn, actually, this we
Yeah.
know as a fact,
Yeah.
who was associated with New Knowledge. Remember New
Yeah.
Knowledge?
Yes.
That was creating those Russian smears against Republican, I believe, Senate candidates. I believe it was Alabama or Arkansas. Anyway, New Knowledge was the company that was creating, that was getting funded and getting the consult of the founder of LinkedIn, Reid Hoffman. And Reid Hoffman was specifically sent into MIT after Epstein's first charges to rehabilitate Epstein during a fundraiser. And Reid
Exactly.
Hoffman is deeply connected to the Democrat Party. So there's a lot of connections here
Well,
going
indeed.
on.
I
A
come
lot of
back
connections.
absolutely, and I come back
And it
to
goes back to Maxwell's,
yes.
video evidence and documents that she may have as well, thumb drives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, can I just say something? I mean, I come back to what we were saying the other day about, which side of the political aisle this is a scandal of. All of Epstein's connections that I can see were primarily, overwhelmingly with the Democrat side of the aisle, not the Republican. He was this looks like a Democrat scandal, looks like. And how far up does it go? I mean, we've had all kinds of people in the Democrat Party, and all kinds of scandals, sex scandals or sexual allegations have swirled around them. I mean, we had a former president who was impeached, a Democrat president, Bill Clinton. He was impeached in connection with a sex scandal. We've had comments made about, the sexual interests or the fact that, that Sleepy Joe gropes. I mean, we had all kinds of things of that kind. So, given that this is so, I make no allegations. I speak from no knowledge. But were these people on the guest lists of these select parties?
I mean,
Just asking. Yes, I know.
fact, it's recorded fact that someone like, say, Bill Clinton or Bill Gates, they're on the Lolita Express Epstein's airplane. They're on that list. They're on that
Exactly.
manifest. I mean, Bill Clinton,
Exactly.
anywhere for 20, 26, 27 times, he was on
Exactly.
that plane.
Exactly.
And
Exactly.
he has been spotted at the island by witnesses multiple times,
Multiple,
St.
multiple.
James. Yeah. So that
Exactly.
we know.
Exactly. So I again, presumption of innocence obviously applies, but I think we deserve some answers. And this person, Powell, is absolutely someone who appears to be in a position to provide them. Now, if she says that this is all just a piece of gossip and she just made it all up, then we need that too. We need that information also. But it doesn't look like that to me at the moment, because frankly, everything that we know about this case suggests that what she said is true. What she said in that tweet is true.
She's no dummy. She wanted to weigh in on this. And then, like you said, once she sent out that tweet, I'm sure a lawyer called her up and said, one of her legal counsels at her Silicon Valley company, where she is now, probably said, take that thing down right away.
Right away.
She wanted to weigh in. Exactly. She wanted to be heard.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, you know, I come back to what I'm saying. If I outline three potential future scenarios. If it is scenario three, then her lawyers and the Justice Department are presumably already in touch with each other. But that's if it's scenario three.
Yeah. We're going to do a video, Alexander. We have to do a video on Deutsche Bank. I'm reading a headline from Zero Hedge. Deutsche Bank inexcusably failed to monitor Jeffrey Epstein's accounts, fined $150 million. Fined by the New York State Department of Financial Services. There's some funny business going on.
Well, this is
Deutsche
very
Bank and Epstein, and there's a money trail. I think this is the first concrete evidence we have of a real money trail being investigated.
Absolutely. And I mean, they've paid a $150 million fine. So this is a serious thing. So there is a crime here of some kind, or at least some kind of misconduct. What is going on? Because bear in mind, up to this point, for the moment, we've been hearing lots of stories about Epstein's, terrible crimes in relation to sexual abuse of underage girls. We've heard virtually nothing about his business and financial activities. And yet it now turns out that there was something about those financial activities which resulted in Deutsche Bank being fined. So what was it? I mean, we just have this story at the moment. We can discuss this, and certainly we can make, I mean, you know, at the moment, again, we're down to guesses, but we can make some very good informed guesses. But I think that really requires a program.
Yeah, we'll do a separate program dedicated to that story as well. Yeah. Alexander, anything else that you want to add?
Well, I think that the next couple of weeks in this case are going to be absolutely crucial. I mean, Maxwell's going to be appearing in court before long. We'll see which lawyers she instructs. We'll see what she says when she goes into court. I mean, one possibility that's not to be discounted, but I think it's most unlikely, is that she will plead guilty. She will indicate straight away that she's pleading guilty. But if not, which is far more likely, we will very quickly see what line she is taking and what line the government is taking. And, you know, I want to stress again, I am not someone generally who likes plea deals. I think people who have done terrible things should be punished for them according to law. I would be prepared to make an exception in this case if getting Maxwell to cooperate leads to some other people who are arguably more important and who perhaps, because of their importance, are more dangerous to the social system of the United States. So let's see.
All right, Alexander Mercurs, thank you very much, guys. If you like this video, click on that subscribe button down below. Click on the notifications bell. Please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. And please go to the brand new Durant shop, pick up some really cool merchandise. We've got all kinds of new things. I'm waiting for my stuff to come. It should be coming any day now. You're going to be getting some of the new stuff, Alexander, which is on its way as well. And I'm really excited to show it all off.
So am I. Absolutely. I mean, it's just a fantastic stuff. I should say, I mean, we have amazing things on in our shop, but you just need to go and look at the shop and see these amazing products that Alex has been arranging to go into the shop. And they're just phenomenal. They're fantastic. So at the moment, I'll just say a few things about the products we already have there. Our products we've had, some of them for a while. I mean, you know, the sort of coffee and tea mugs, the magic mugs that we drink from. I've had mine now for, a year and a half, more than that. And again, I will quickly say they're the best mugs in the world. The fact that I've had them for so long and that they're in such perfect condition shows you how hard wearing they are, because I drink tea literally all the time, and they're in perfect condition, and they are the best for tea, the best mugs for tea you can find. Incidentally, those who are interested, this is the tea I'm drinking from at the moment. You can probably see it there. It is oolong tea from China. It is Ti Guan Yin oolong tea, Iron Goddess of Mercy. It is one of the best teas drunk amazingly from a mug like this. So our mugs, best mugs in the world, without any qualification whatsoever. Our t-shirts and polo shirts and v-neck shirts, best t-shirts, polo shirts, and v-neck shirts in the world also. All 100% cotton. You see there, they've got the double-headed eagle of the Durand. They're incredibly stylish. They're amazingly comfortable. They are 100% cotton. They are phenomenal. You can wear them in any situation. You can wear them, to a social event. You can wear them when you're exercising, when you're at the gym, when you're going on the beach, when you're walking your dogs in the forest, when you're meeting, the great aristocrats at some great party or whatever. They are amazing shirts, and they are incredibly comfortable, and they're beautifully put together, as shown again by the fact that I've had them for so long. I've had my shirts for 1 year and 10 months, and I can tell you again, they're in perfect condition. So our mugs, our shirts, we've also got hats and hoodies and stickers. We got an ever-expanding library of ebooks, and of course, we've got these great new products that Alex is providing to our shop. So you cannot not participate. You can't stay away from our shop. You've got to go buy these great things. You support the Durand by doing it. So come to our shop, support the Durand. Alex will tell you how.
Just go to thedurandshop.com. You'll find a link in the description box down below. Alexander Mercurius, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.